I want to say thanks to everybody for inviting me. You know, Pam, of course, and Marvin, Mick, Bob, Gonzalez. I really appreciate Toby's testimony there about how somebody said there's something good inside of you. That's true, isn't it? There's something inside of us that's just like trying to get out. It's like there's something that was put inside of us, I think, at the beginning of time. Adam and Eve had it. Adam and Eve had this amazing relationship with God. They had this amazing relationship with each other. But they lost it, of course. They got conned. Anybody ever get conned? Yeah, I did. Too many times. What happens when you get conned? I was coming here and I was thinking about that. And I think, you know, you get conned when you think you're getting a whole bunch, but giving very little. When it's just the opposite, isn't it? Yeah. Adam and Eve got conned. And they went from having this great nature, a nature that was very similar to God's, to having this destructive, sinful nature that we all were born with. Ever since Adam and Eve, as you guys probably know, we all received that sinful nature passed down through generations. The Bible says that all have sinned. And tonight I want to tell you about my testimony, because I was thinking about what is it that I could speak about tonight when Pam asked me. So I asked Pam, I said, what should I speak about? What kind of subject? She said, oh, just let God tell you, you know, just whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. I said, okay, great answer. Then I talked to Marvin. Guess what Marvin said? Just whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. I thought, those two are talking, you know, they're communicating back and forth, or maybe they just got it from God. I don't know. What do you think?
The latter.
Okay, they got it from God. But I thought, you know, what's the greatest thing that I could tell you is a story about how God intervened in my life. And I wonder if there's anybody in this room can say, yes, there was a time. Hi, Gonzalez. I didn't see you way back there. Isn't that funny? A pastor comes in and he sits in the back row. Bad karma. No, just kidding.
That's a bad example.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But what is it that, you know, what's the greatest thing that a person could ever say to a group? What God did in their life to give God glory. And that's what I'd like to do today. Before we start, can I go ahead and pray?
Amen.
Yeah, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given all of us to tell the wonderful work that you have done through your Son, Jesus. And I would like to do that right now. Let your name be glorified. Amen. I grew up not too far from here, just off of Reed and Oxford. Had a great family. At least it looked good from the outside. Good parents. Brothers and sister. Two brothers and sister. But when I got in my teenage years, all of a sudden things started going haywire. I thought I was going to be a good kid, but there was something inside of me that was missing. And it was missing in my older sister. It was missing in my brother. It was missing in my younger brother. We all got caught up in the things of the world. And I didn't know exactly what it was that I was missing. But there was something that was missing. Graduated from college, and I ended up in a ski resort in Colorado. Now, there is no pleasure that's not available to a man in his 20s living in a ski resort. Okay? Sort of like an airplane pilot. Very similar. But I try to find pleasure. I try to fill those empty spots in my life through the things of this world. You know, first of all, it was drinking, then it was marijuana, and then there was LSD, mushrooms, partying, wine, women, song, and everything else. But in my mid-20s, living in a ski resort, there was a growing emptiness inside of me. Why? Because of the fact that I realized that everything that the world had given me was not ultimately bringing me the peace and the joy that I was really looking for. So I thought, if it doesn't come in the way of the world, then maybe it's through something else. One night I was trying to get to sleep, And the Lord gave me a vision. We replaced a water heater in our house, and we were going to throw it away. And I looked at my maintenance man. I said, don't throw it away. I think I got something I can use it for. And the Lord gave me a vision when I was in my 20s. And it was like my life was a funnel, or I was a ball, and my life was a funnel. And I wish you could see this. It's really sort of cool. But it was just going around and around, and I was trying to keep it going, and I tried everything to keep this ball going. And the only problem is, it would every once in a while it would start to slow down, and there's a hole in the middle. And I knew that the Lord showed me that if that my life would ever go through that hole, that would be it. I wish you could see this. We need a big mirror up here. But so I tried something else that would get me going a little bit faster for a while, but then whatever I was trying lost momentum, and I was very afraid that pretty soon my life would slow down to a place and that'd be it. God showed me that. It was like he was saying, Jim, if you don't turn your life around, if you don't get things straight, there will be no turning back. Scared literally the hell out of me. And I realized at the time that chasing after God was, that's why I don't play ball. I can't even hit the pew from here, you know. Bounces off the wood. The Lord showed me that I needed to chase after him. So I started looking for God. But I started looking for God in all the wrong places, in Hinduism, Buddhism, Eastern religions, you know. And eventually I was even being mentored by a witch in the ski resort, practicing witchcraft. But one night I was practicing some witchcraft, and I said, God, if this is you for you, okay, if not, stop me. And he did. Boom, just like that. And I went, wow, I still haven't found who God is. I was brought up in the Lutheran church. Thank you. But there was something that was missing in my family. And I found out what it was when I was 28. I was hitchhiking through California, and I came across some friends that I hadn't seen for a while. And they were different. They were people that I used to party with up in Colorado in a ski resort. But now, 2 years later, 3 years later, they were radically different. There was something different about them. They went from night to day, from lost to found, to darkness to light. Doing all the old garbage I used to do to a brand new life. So I did something really radical. I knew that what they had, I wanted. So I went back to Colorado, packed all my belongings, closed everything up, put everything in my car, and I traveled to Los Angeles, or south of LA, in Orange County. And I spent 2 years there. And in that time, I gave my life to the Lord, Jesus Christ. And for 2 years, I spent this among friends, just completely cut off my old friends. Because I moved. I just moved from, you know, from, I was born in Fort Wayne, but I cut them off, and I moved to Colorado, and then I moved to Los Angeles, or south of LA. I left everything behind to follow Christ. And I was out there for 2 years and had the most amazing time of growth while I was out there. And then 2 years after, 2 years after I moved out there, I moved back to Fort Wayne, went to a small school, met a lady named Elaine, got married. I want to tell you that Elaine is so much different than the other women I looked for before I was a Christian. All right, Elaine was pure, innocent, already been a missionary in Haiti and Mexico, and now she was back in Fort Wayne, and we ended up getting married. And we lived in the Dominican Republic for a year, came back, and in 1991, we moved onto a camp called Stillwater Retreat. I need to back up and say something. I forgot something really important. When I was out in California, my friends out there said, Jim, you need to be baptized. I just repented of everything. I left everything, my old life behind. I knew I was born again, but they said, you need to be baptized. And I said, I was baptized as a child. They said, well, you need to repent and be baptized. So I asked God, and he definitely said, yes, be baptized. He confirmed it in so many ways. It's just unbelievable. And I want to tell you something. When I was baptized out there in California, I came out of the water, and I felt like there was a load of weights off of me. I felt like I had lost 50 pounds. Probably should be baptized again. Maybe that would work. But I felt like I lost 50 pounds. They had a party for me. Now, this was California. They have parties for everything, right? Yeah. And they're going to have a party for me because I was baptized. I walked into that party, and I literally looked down because I felt so light. There's a weight on a person that's in sin. That weight is guilt. That weight is shame. And shame has a weight. Sin, as you guys probably know, is when you do something wrong. Guilt is when you feel, guilt is the feeling that you did something wrong. But shame is the feeling that there's something wrong with you. And I had felt that there was something wrong with me because I just wasn't measuring up. And I realized that there was something that was missing in my family that sort of propelled me into a life of sin for 10 years. There's a weight that comes with guilt and shame. And the day that I was baptized, that I walked out of that church, I felt 10, 20, 30, 50 pounds lighter. And I have stayed free of that guilt and shame ever since that time. One of the things that I really am very thankful for is that in my mid-20s, God started giving me a vision. Even before I became a Christian, he started giving me a vision. And this vision was, I was driving a vehicle, load full of people, I think it was a 15-passenger van, full of people out to a secluded place for them to find out about a new way of living, a better way of living, okay? When I was in Colorado, I started to pursue that vision. Now, I wasn't a Christian, but I remember going to the bank to take out a loan for a piece of property in the ski resort I was at. I thought it would be a great place to start this vision that I had. I didn't even know where it was from. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. But I walked up to the door, and I put my hand on the door, and I heard this voice inside, and the voice said, "Not yet." And a few years later, hello, welcome.
Hi.
Right, welcome. Oh, that's right. You didn't miss much. Supper. That was good. But God said, "Not yet." And a couple years later, I committed my life to the Lord, pursued him with all my heart. You know, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, you know, people quote those verses all the time. It says that God's got a plan for your life, a plan for a future and a hope. You know, it's a prosperity. It's a great future. What they don't tell you, though, often is that you got to go seek the Lord with all your heart. You got to turn away from your life of sin and seek him with all of your heart. You got to pray to him with all your heart. Because if you seek him with all of your heart and you pray to him with all your heart, you will find him. The Bible says, Jeremiah says, you will find him. And then he will deliver you out of the land he exiled you into. And I realized at the age of 28 that I was seeking the vision. I was seeking life instead of seeking him. When I started seeking him, everything changed. All of a sudden, I had this tremendous amount of peace and joy. All of a sudden, things started falling into place. It seemed like the pieces in the puzzle that I was missing, all of a sudden, they started coming into place. And at the age of, when I came back from the mission field, we moved on to the camp. All of a sudden, I realized that the camp in 1991 was a fulfillment of the vision the Lord gave me back when I was 25 years old. And we moved on to the camp. My wife and I moved on to the camp. 2 years later, we formed a nonprofit corporation. We raised the money. We bought the camp. And for 25 years, we worked with inner city kids at this place called Stillwater. God's got a plan for your life. It's a future and a hope. That's the greatest message. as a greater message, excuse me, the greatest message, though, is if you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. And if you find him, I'm going to tell you something. That vision that he gave you really doesn't make that much difference because you got him. When you have him, you have everything you need. You have everything you could ever desire. You have him. Now he gives you back those visions often, but only when you seek him with all your heart. We're going to watch a video. Some of you might have seen it before. It's from a group called Life House. It's a Christian group. And they did a video. Let's see how many people we got here. 2, 4, 6, 8. Hopefully we have enough of these. Would you pass these out for me, Marvin, over there, and Nick? This video is called Life House Everything Skit. And it's the story of your life, maybe. It might be the story of somebody specifically in this group. It's also my story. It's a story of my life. It's a story about a woman. It's only 6-7 minutes long. And it's a skit done by a group of kids. But it's a story of what God has a desire to do in our life. It's a story about a woman who had a relationship with the Lord but walked away from God. It's a story about her getting caught up in the things of this world. It's a story about her coming to a place of going, I'm lost. I'm depressed. I'm suicidal. As a matter of fact, she's about ready to take her life when she realizes, number one, who was behind all of those lies? Who was behind all of those temptations? Who was behind the drugs, the drinking, the partying? She realized who it was. In fact, at the end of the skit, you actually see a representation of who Satan is. In the midst of me looking for God, while I was still in Satan worship, when I was still in witchcraft, God opened up the veil into the spiritual world, and he showed me who was ultimately bringing all those lies, and it was the enemy. And in this video, you'll see how this lady gets to a place of coming to that realization, and how she struggles to get away from all of those chains that she was in. She wasn't able to. What's that?
Sorry. I have allergies really bad.
Oh, okay. That's all right. No problem. I thought you were commenting on something I said. Well, we know that works. As we watch this, I would encourage you to go through that list that I just gave you and find out, try to discover where you are in relationship with who this, what path this lady's taking. And at the end, I'm just going to pray. If you have any questions or if there's any further discussion you'd like to have about it, I'm sure that there will be a few of us that can stay around and talk to you about it. I want to encourage you to investigate your own life, to look into your own heart to see where you are in your relationship with the Lord.
To the
you know, maybe you've never had a relationship with God. Maybe you're not interested now. The advantage not knowing where you've been or where you are now is that I can say, maybe you don't. If you don't and you're not interested, then we will go on. But if you've never had it before, but you know you need one now, I want to encourage you to find somebody and ask them what it takes to say yes to Christ, to turn away from your old way of life and follow him. Maybe you're caught up in some sin. Maybe you're still struggling with some addictions like I was. Just like that lady in the video, she was caught up in the things of this world that she walked into. She walked into and enjoyed it for a while, but she found out that those things all of a sudden stopped bringing her the pleasure, the peace, the joy that she was looking for. And she was desperate. I was desperate in my mid-20s. Went to see my family doctor to say, I need a psychiatrist. He gave me a name. A few years later, he said, did I ever ask if I ever saw it? I said, no, I became a Christian. I didn't need one anymore. Hallelujah. Or maybe number three, you had a relationship with God but fell back into sin. And maybe you're not interested in renewing. Once again, my heart goes out to you. Or maybe number four, you had a relationship with God but fell back into sin, just like this lady. But now you're wanting to return to Christ. I want to encourage you to come back. The prodigal son left, dishonored his father, but he came back. And the father was excited about his son coming back. You know who told that story? Jesus. To represent who the heavenly father is. He wants you back. He wants you back. You just need to turn to him at any time. Or number five, you're pleasantly walking with God. But now I know, now you know, you have to start to pursue him with all of your heart. I'm going to tell you, these are the days that the Bible talks about. Right before Jesus comes back, it's getting closer. Temptations are going to increase. The Bible says that temptations are going to be so strong, the Bible says even the elect, if possible, will be deceived. You need to spend time in the Word. Man, I read a book of Galatians today. Again, it's one of my favorite. Wow. Read the Bible. Marvin and I talk about all the time about the need for all of us to read the Word of God. Because it's a sword. It's a shield. It reminds you of who he is and who you are in him and who the enemy is. The battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. In heavenly realms, the enemy is gaining strength in this country. My wife and I go to Africa. We've been there 20 times. In fact, we were talking about early. Gonzalez was in the town that I go to, that Elaine and I go to. He just happened to be assigned to go to that town. The coincidence is just amazing. But we go to South Africa, been there 20 times. And people ask me, you know, is the enemy, is Satan, are the demons stronger there than they are here in America? And I said, no, they're stronger here. What? I said, yeah. It's because so many people don't believe in them. They're stronger here. There's great deception coming across this country. You need to stay in the Word. You need to stay strong. Okay? So I want to encourage you to chase the Lord with all of your heart. If you're not doing it now, Start by reading the Word on a daily basis. Spend time with godly people. Spend time every Sunday in church or fellowshipping with others. Keep your heart clean. Repent every time you know you sin. If you're a Christian and you're suffering under guilt and shame, you should not be suffering under guilt and shame. You should know that all you have to do is confess your sins and he is faithful and just and he will forgive you of your sins. Don't let the enemy poke you in the chest if you're a Christian. Don't let them poke you in the chest and bring accusations against you. That's why you need to stay in the Word. Well, if you have any other questions or any other concerns, or if you'd like to have somebody pray for you, there's a whole host of people up here that would just love to spend time with you. If not tonight, then some other time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have given us this good news even while we're lost, even while we're sinners, according to Romans 5:8, you loved us and you demonstrated your love. You proved your love for us by sending your son Jesus, that we may have life, that we may have life abundantly and eternally with you. You've given us freedom from sin and shame and guilt. You've given us even a certain amount of authority over the enemy, and I thank God for that. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that your son, Jesus, allowed his body to be broken, his blood to be shed, just so that we could have a relationship with you and you would be glorified, because the world will know, if not soon, then later, that you are a loving, sacrificing God. I pray, Father, for those in this room, that if they don't know you, if there's anybody that doesn't know you, that right now, that in their heart of hearts, that you would speak to them and you would say, I want you back, or I want you. Draw them to you, Lord Jesus. Make it evident, I pray, for those that maybe have backslid, struggling with sin. I pray, Father, that you would reveal to them the freedom, if only they would believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Jesus, that when somebody asked you, what is the work of the Christian? You said to believe, to trust in the one the Father sent. So, Father, tonight I ask you, as we lift your name up, your name of your son, Jesus Christ, asking you, Lord, that you would send your spirit and move upon our hearts. We praise your name and ask you, Lord, that you would do it for your glory and honor. And I said, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.